And before we get going, here's a word about our sponsors. SDHQ Motorsport is a powerhouse 30,000 square foot facility with 45 family members reporting for duty. This single owner, single location business is based out of Gilbert, Arizona. It can handle anything from a hot rod, daily driver, pre-runner, race vehicle, half track or Kubelwagen, or just about any other project you need help with. Their skilled staff with hundreds of years of combined experience eats, sleeps, and breathes performance. So go check them out at sdhqmotorsports.com or check them out on Insta at sdhqmotorsports. The We Happy Few 506 podcast is brought to you in partnership with the Gettysburg Museum of History, home of the Major Dick Winters collection and the largest assortment of authentic Band of Brothers artifacts in the world. Visit the free museum at 219 Baltimore Street in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, or at www.gettysburgmuseumofhistory.com, and on the YouTube channel, The History Underground, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Well, hello, and welcome back to yet another thrilling installment of the We Have a Few 506 podcast, / the Masters of the Air Appreciation Society. I'm here with my beautiful co-host out in Berlin. Doug, how you doing, buddy?
I'm very well, thank you, Matt. How are you? What football shirt are you? Is that a football shirt you're wearing?
Yes, sir. This what is Johan Cruyff's LA Aztecs top. So you'll see on this side it says LA Aztecs.
And oh, wow.
On the back it says Cruyff.
That's full fan.
Because as a middle-aged man playing pickup football in America, I'm arrogant enough to have one of the world's greatest ever players on my back and get the living crap kicked out of me. We have a guest on today. We're so grateful to have you guys from Masters of the Air come on. You've all been fantastic guests. We have Ben Spong on. Ben, how are you, buddy?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. I am taken aback by the stunning, stunning hair that you have. That is truly fantastic.
Yeah, every time I get a new barber, they always say how thick it is. But
yeah. So does it just grow naturally thick and luscious like that? And
to be fair, I do have my a nice studio light making it a little bit more.
Do you? Yeah. It's glimmering. It's glimmering and shimmering.
It is.
I'm looking at it and I'm hearing Don Henley's Boys of Summer in my head.
Dude,
as I look at it, you are a magnificent looking creature. Yesterday we had Louis on, and we sort of like went around the houses a little bit first, but today we're going to crack straight on with Masters of the Air with you. So I do have notes, so bear with me here. So you played Lieutenant Colonel Olin O. Turner, who was known as the Little General. Am I correct?
Yeah, so I was, I believe he changed ranks throughout the series. So yes. I come as Major Ollie Turner, but okay. they didn't show the scene where I got promoted. But yeah, Major Ollie Turner, and I believe there was a problem with his name, so they weren't sure
right.
What his real name was Ollie, and they accidentally pronounced it Olin, or it was the other way around. His real name was Olin, and they wrote Ollie in the papers, but. Yeah, so Major Olin Turner was the character.
Right, because, I mean, clerical errors can happen at any point, especially in the military. I know I come from a military family. If you were guessing, you'd have to guess it was Ollie and not Olin, wouldn't you, though?
Exactly, yeah. I did do some research and did, like, I've seen a lot of it say Olin, but, yeah, when I was filming, they told me Ollie, so, yeah.
Do you have a moustache in the show?
No. So I did a lot of things in the show, which I'll tell you about in this podcast.
Please, please do.
Probably seen photos of me with the tash on.
Yeah.
I was also doing some body doubling for different characters as well.
Oh, can we start with that? I've got a bunch of questions for you, but can we start with that? Why, how comes you were doing body doubling as well? Is it because they just wanted magnificent hair all the way through or...
Oh, so I've got some cool stories to tell you. Like I was cast completely different to all the other actors.
Okay.
Which I can start with that if you're interested.
Please, yes.
The casting process, yeah.
Yeah.
So I know a lot, well, all the other casts were cast through, I believe, Lucy Bevan.
Uh-huh.
And, I have a really interesting story on how I got this role. So originally I just saw something online saying we're looking for loads of 18 to 30-year-old males. Obviously, they're trying to get as many people as they can to be extras in the TV show. And you know, I just thought, well, it's probably background work, but, you know, I'll drop them a message and see what happens. And then, they got back to me, said, can you send us your photos, etc., fill out these forms. And then obviously it was background people they were looking for. Then I wasn't sure really whether I wanted to do it. And then they got back to me. I messaged them saying, well, I don't really think I want to do this anymore. It's going to be like a 2-hour drive, and I'm not really sure if I'm feeling it. And they got back to me and said, we've sent your photos off to the costume department. They really like your hair, and we've used you as an example for like the haircuts we're going to be doing.
No
So
way.
yeah, so I spoke to the background people on the phone, and they told me the sort of money these background guys were going to be making, filming 5, 6 days a week for like
Right.
9 months. And I thought, you know what? I'll go to the initial hair and makeup fitting, see what they say. And I said to them, do you by any chance have any ever little roles going? And they said to me, every now and then we're probably going to have a little featured role pop up. So I was like, perfect. Did my hair and makeup, did my fitting, and then 2 weeks go by and I get a message saying we have a role for a little featured role.
No
So
way.
I think they sent it to all the background people that wanted to be actors as well. And then there was obviously hundreds of people going for this role. And the first audition was literally, can you just say your name, a little bit about your acting, where you're from, all in an English accent. So I sent that off, and then I got a message back saying, perfect, we've narrowed you down. Can you now send us a little audition of this script? And I believe it was the script of one of the Gunner roles. So it was about Patricia's plane falling in the clouds, and I had to describe what I saw. And then, so that was in my English accent as well. And I got past that round. And then they messaged me saying, can you do the exact same audition, but in a Texas accent, and get it back to us in a few hours? And I'd
Oh
never
my.
had a Texas accent before. I had no one to help me with the following audition. So I just cropped my brother's voice out of the original self-tape, put Matthew McConaughey on YouTube for about half an hour, listened to his accent. And then, I just went for it. And then, so I found out like probably 2 weeks later, I got a message one morning saying, you booked the job as Turner. I didn't even know his first name at this point. And I really still didn't even know what I was getting myself into. I didn't really know what I was going to be doing, if it was going to be, reoccurring, if I was going to have any lines. They just said, turn up on this day and we'll see what happens. So I turn up, and obviously I was cast through the background people originally. So during COVID, my little COVID pod, as it was in the with hundreds and hundreds of other people, like all the background people. So all my friends that I, was talking to every day were the background people rather than the
Wow.
cast. I didn't get to do any of the fun stuff, like because I was super late casting, I didn't get to do any of like the military sort of camps, which I love that sort of stuff. I would have loved to do camps, the fitness. So I didn't get to do any of that. But it was really cool. And then I turned up on my first day. I still didn't really know what to expect. I was in my pod from like 6 a.m. till like 9 p.m. at night time. And then I hear people, all the extras talking about, I wonder who got the role, I wonder who got the role. And then I'm just sat there sort of like, yeah. And then they call me out, can Ben come and do his scene? And then I see everyone like, oh, that's the guy that got the role. And then, so my first ever scene was filming in the scene where they wake Austin up in the middle of the night. Yeah, so I filmed that at like 10 p.m. My pod all day, and they called me over to set, and it's the first time I really understood what sort of size show I was on. I saw like hundreds of people behind the camera. I saw hundreds of people watching the screens for hair and makeup. I go in, I see all these, actors that I know of, and then that was the first time I met Austin, and they actually cut before they got to me, so you didn't see me in that scene. But that was a pretty cool experience. The first time I met Austin was one of those awkward handshakes because it was during COVID, so I
Oh
wasn't.
no. What did you do? The handshake or the fist bump? You got it wrong, right? What was it?
I wasn't sure if you were allowed to handshake because of COVID. You weren't really
Right.
supposed to hear anyone apart from when you were filming. So I went in. I thought I'd play it safe with a fist bump. He goes for the handshake.
Right.
One of those weird switch things.
Right.
And he's such a cool guy. He just comes and says, "Just give me a hug, man." And then we hug it out. And that's when I realized, I was like, "Oh, damn, I've actually got a role in this, in this TV show." So, pretty different experience in terms of getting cast. And then they sort of said to me, "You don't have any lines in the script as of yet, but you're going to be in all the briefing scenes. So we'll just see what happens." And I was actually speaking to Austin, and I don't know how true this is, but somebody, I think it was Austin, told me that when he originally got the script, my character Turner had he was in the script a lot more, but they must have like last minute cut him out, and that's why Lucy Bevan didn't cast this character. And then I think last minute they thought, let's get someone in, so just so that he's in all the briefing scenes. So it worked out for me in the end.
Wow,
So that, yeah.
what a story
that is, a truly inspiring story, isn't it?
That
It's
is.
fantastic.
So how long were
I
you on the show for in the end? How much, filming did you do in both as an actor and as an extra?
Yeah, so I did background, extra, and body doubling. So I did all my scenes as Turner, all the briefing room scenes, I probably did like 8 official days filming my character. And then they also got me in for like loads of days where I just sit around and not be used as well. So quite a lot of we might be filming your briefing scenes, we might not. We might have you in there. We might not. But so I probably did about 3 weeks getting called in as actually my role of Turner, but that was like spread out across a few months. And then once I was done, the background people were like, "We can still get you in if you like, you just got to make sure you're super in the background." So I ended up doing like probably like 10 days a month across the whole 9, 10 months. So I probably did like, I don't even know how many days I was on set. It was crazy. I did so many days.
I have a question. Is there by any chance a scene where you're playing Turner and in the background at the same time?
I mean, there definitely is. So, like, not when I'm right in the background, though. No. So, all the scenes where I'm in Turner is like where I'm sort of in the front row with Callum Austin and all that stuff, or there's one little scene of me where I'm getting told about my mission and that. And then they also said to me, they weren't sure if I was going to get any lines throughout. If they do, it sort of just be improv on the day. And I kept saying to my brother, because he's an actor, I was like, I'm gonna get some lines soon. I'm gonna get some lines. And then I had my briefing room scene. And then there's one scene where we're getting told about a mission after the plane goes down. I think it is in episode 2 or episode 3. And then originally, me, Austin, Callum are all supposed to just nod. And then it seems a bit weird that like we're just getting talked down, we're just nodding. And then I don't know, don't even know if it was me. I was saying, are we supposed to just nod? Are we supposed to say something? And then the director, Carrie, asks, I think it was Di, the military advisor. He's like, "Do you normally respond to these sort of things, or do you just nod?" And then Dale comes in. He's like, "Yeah, let's give him a little line. Let's say yes, sir." So all of a sudden, they get the mics on me. They mic me up, and accent coach is coming up to me saying, "Is your Texas accent ready?" And I do say yes, sir, in the show, but you can hear me, but they cut off my face. I'm saying, but I'll take it.
That's
How
great.
was it nerve-wracking for you when you suddenly get mic'd up on your first day filming as a member of the cast? Is it
That was,
a different feeling than when you're an extra, because you're.
yeah, definitely. Because that wasn't my first step. It was like I'd done lots of other scenes where I was just sort of it was me, Callum Austin, walking in, but this was the first time where I had like my close up, and I know that not only the people in the room are watching, I know that outside the building there's like hundreds of people watching the screens, watching my every move, and I had an absolute nightmare because I don't wear glasses, right? I don't wear contact lenses, sorry. And I just started to sort of test them. And for some reason, on that one day, I have my close up. I put my contact lenses in. I wasn't used to them. So I don't know if you've noticed, some people probably notice, like people I know, but when I'm doing my close ups, I'm like blinking nonstop. I had an absolute nightmare. But my one close up on a big TV show, I'm like nonstop going, yes, sir. It definitely was. It was nerve-wracking for sure. I mean, I've done other acting stuff. I do a lot of TV commercials where, you're just having fun. It's not such a serious tone. But yeah, it's definitely the most nerve-wracking thing I've filmed,
I was
especially when.
really hoping you were going to say it was like an emotional scene where you're being told about one of the planes going down and it cuts to you and your eyes are all wonky, but your contacts in like, damn, this kid is good. This kid is good. It's all in the eyes.
Really good, or I notice it, but hopefully not too many people at home, probably didn't notice it as much. So,
All the blinking looks like you're a German spy trying to blink out Morse code or something.
I
It's a really complex level of characterization.
and my brother were laughing, saying, "Oh, they'll probably think it's so funny. You'll get like a little meme on."
Yeah. When you can't remember if you've left the iron on at home.
Yeah, I know. And then
Sorry,
obviously,
this is a slight segue. Where are you from? What's the accent?
so I'm from near Bath.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
thought so.
So I live in Bath now, but I'm actually back at my parents' house now in Wiltshire,
Where in Wiltshire?
in Trowbridge, it's called.
Trowbridge. Okay, I think I've played those guys at cricket. Yeah, we got spanked.
Yeah.
Good
Where are
cricket,
you?
Trowbridge. Where am I?
You're Gloucester, is it?
No, that's Leighton in Gloucester. I'm in Washington, D.C.
Oh, nice, yeah.
I'm running against Trump this year, so someone's got
Yeah.
to do it. Oh, half our audience just turned off. I also got to ask you, I'm backing up a little bit here, Ben. When you used the Matthew McConaughey accent, which, by the way, good idea, very good idea, which film was it?
It was just a podcast he was on. I was just listening to his voice as my. Yeah.
Wasn't doing that.
Oh, yeah. And I
All
was just.
right, all right.
And then every time I was driving to set, because I didn't ever know if I had any lines, I would practice the same saying in the accent for like, I'd do like 20 minutes practicing driving to set every day. But
Right.
turns out I didn't need it that much.
Well, can you give us a little bit of it, or are you too nervous? I'm not going to put you on the spot. You can just say no.
Been a while, but it was more just like so they wanted me to say, instead of yes, sir, in two different words, it was more of a, they wanted it more joined together, so more of a
Sir,
sir. Sir.
yes, sir.
Sir.
Weirdly enough,
Sir.
they oh, it's good. That's good. I talked over the top of it, but it was good. Everybody was good. I ruined it as usual. I ruined the take. Dale Dye's got a thing. He's got a thing about when you answer an officer or a sergeant on screen, he hates it with a passion if you just go, got it. I don't know why. If you want to like really annoy Dale Dye, if anybody's going to be in a military film that he's going to consult on, don't say "got it" as an improvisational scene. He'll come and like yank you out by your ear, tell you off. I know because I did it.
I remember him being on set a lot, making sure we're acting professional. And I don't know if it was him or one of the other military advisors at the start, like the first few weeks, it was very strict on marching over to set rather than just walking over to set. So being in character from the moment you're sort of changed up until you're actually on set filming as well. So
And
he's.
as you didn't do the boot camp and all that business, how was it to just drop in and start marching about the place? It's a bit weird, isn't
Yeah, it was. It's like the classic, was it left, right, left, left, right, left. But no, it was after.
wasn't doing his rude cadence, was he, like he used to do us in the morning when he was running?
No, I didn't hear any of that. Did you guys get it bad? Did you?
Yeah, we
Yeah,
had
it
to do that
wasn't.
every morning, I think. And he would, yeah, we had, what was the, we had plenty of rude cadences and songs that we had to sing. Even coming back from chow at lunch break, we had to march, didn't we? And then march to drop our weapons to the armory.
It all depended what mood he was in as to what exactly he was going to sing. Sometimes it was just like, hip, hur, hip, hur, hip, hur, and sometimes he'd be bringing out this stuff that was like from, Full Metal Jacket. Do you know what I mean? He was like, ah, this is a bit inappropriate, sir. Stuff he was singing. It was a bit like, I'm not sure we can say this right now. It's we're going to get cancelled. Even though it's only the year 2000, it's still really rude, sir.
Guys filmed for like almost a year as well. Was it a long filming film?
It's been
Yeah,
10
we
months, wasn't it? 10 months.
10 months plus I think a month of sort of pickups added on. I think we started at the start of the year, and by the end of the year it was December, and we were all done. But we were teasing the guys that have come on about the boot camp because apparently it was all sort of like really cerebral and everybody was like learning graphs and maps and that kind of stuff. And we were just digging holes and getting shelled. That's what we were doing for 2 weeks. Would you enjoy?
I wish I like that sort of thing, all the adventure, the personal training sort of stuff. So it does sound, I kind of wish I did get that opportunity, but
Yeah, but I think, I mean, the boot camp your guys had, it was all in a hotel, and they weren't all doing it together. They had to do it because I think there's so many. They had to do it in sections, and do you know what I
yeah, I
mean?
still
And
think.
people would come in, get cast late, and then they'll do it with like three or four others and stuff like that. We did all ours together as like three full platoons in a barracks, and you know, it was yeah, it was really good, really really good. Well, it wasn't at the time, was it, Matt? It was
All in the UK as well, right?
Yeah, all not far from you actually, Surrey Way, down the A3, place called Longmoor. You'll pass it if you go from like Guildford down to Portsmouth. It's on the left.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going Guildford to Portsmouth, it's on the left. It's called Longmoor. There you go. For those of you, I can add a grid reference in the bio if you'd particularly like to go there. What was good about when we were there as well with the marching as well? I don't know, because like I say, I come from a military family. I was like boy soldier for a while. I went to a kind of military school. I've got this weird fetish for marching. I love marching. And when we were there, we got, because all our cast were very competitive, especially Doug, very sporty, especially Doug. So we picked up marching really quick. But we on the base at the same time, especially on the weekend with the TA, the Territorial Army, a bunch of these weekend warriors, and they couldn't march for shit. They were all over the place, which was good for us.
Yeah, we always look better than they did. We
Yeah,
always
we
come
did. Yeah,
last.
we looked hot, man. We looked hot.
No.
So how much do you actually know about the fellow that you played? Were you given catch up really quickly? We're like, all right, you're the guy that's playing it. Here's a massive dossier. Because his record is really quite impressive. I've done a little research here.
So I didn't know much at all. Like I said, even production didn't give me much. Even when I was doing my scenes, I'd literally just rock up and then it was all sort of just told to me on the spot. But in terms of my character, like when I did my first ever scene, I didn't even know his first name at that point because it was such a last minute thing. So I remember
Nobody knew his first name, to be honest with you.
Ollie Olin.
Ollie Olland Oli Ulol.
There was part of the scene where they wake me up and they shout, "Ollie, Ollie, Ollie, wake up!" And then I had no idea my name was Ollie at this point until they came over to me. And it was only after that first day of filming I found out it was Ollie, obviously Ollie Turner. And then in terms of his actual story, I didn't know much about him during the war, and then I only got contacted by his family literally after episode three.
Oh wow.
Okay. Oh well,
What's that like?
was that via Matt Mabe as well?
No, so I just woke up on Instagram one day and I had a DM from a random name, and it turns out it was his nephew. And obviously they're saying how appreciative they are that I could tell his uncle's story, etc. And obviously only three episodes had been out at this point. And I was like obviously asking lots of questions. They were telling me what he was like after the war. They were telling me that he moved abroad afterwards, and apparently he got offered some other roles, but he decided to turn them down. And yeah, just sort of catching up with his family and yeah, telling me all about his grandkids, his nephews. And it's a shame I didn't know all this when we were filming, because it would have helped me a little bit understand, more about the character. But to be honest, they didn't even know that they were making a show, and they didn't even know that their uncle was going to be in it. So they were extremely like grateful, proud, and obviously I didn't feature too much in it. Like people that know me, they know I was in it, but you wouldn't exactly, know Ollie's story from the show. But there,
Oh,
this
yeah, you're
guy.
singing to the choir, mate. Don't worry, you're singing to the choir. We know this.
Family told me that he actually had a lot bigger of an impact in that story than obviously what the show showed.
Yeah, I mean, I did a little research myself. He actually apparently flew on the first bloody 100th mission. I think he flew an incredible amount of missions, actually,
How
himself.
many?
But I don't know, maybe Leighton knows, but I mean, a lot. So
But over
I
the 25, over the
think so. Maybe Leighton can chime in here. I don't want to say
I did
something and be
try and
wrong.
find out, but I could never get the exact missions, and I wanted to find out whether he like what part of the show he left or if he was still there at some certain points, but I never actually found out after the film and all my scenes, so
Well, on
it'll
a
be.
couple of these podcasts that we've done with your cast members, we've had a fellow called Matt Mabon. I don't know whether you've been in contact with him,
No, I've seen a
but I
few.
can give you his details. He runs the 100th Bomb Group Foundation. What was the question again, mate? Comes from Leighton. How many missions did Ollie Turner actually fly, Leighton? Because I think it's quite an impressive amount. I'll have a look. He's having a look. So, but I can put you in touch with there's an actual foundation. And he's Matt Mabey's really good. He's been talking to a lot of the guys like yourself who weren't given a lot of information at the time and have sort of like it's in their blood and in their DNA now. And they're like, well, I'm carrying this legacy with me and families are reaching out and stuff. And so they're reaching out to him and he's giving them a lot of information. He's a great guy and a great source of information. So
Good.
we can hook you up, and you can, I mean, I think he is on Instagram. The 100th Bomb Group Foundation is on Instagram, and his name is Matt Mabe. He's really, really cool. He's been really helpful. We've had some vets on here as well. He's been great with that. He's in with all the families and everything. So hopefully, we can hook you up because I think there is a rich vein of info. Pardon me?
I've seen I'm in one of the Masters of the Air Facebook groups. I think he might be in it also. I've seen some
Yeah,
people.
his name is Matt Mabe. He's a super cool guy. We've had him on here. 15, I think, is the answer. I think 15 missions.
That's pretty good going. That's
Yeah,
pretty
it
young.
is pretty good going.
What age did he, do you know what age he was when he made Major then?
I didn't even know the age, to be honest. No, I didn't get hardly any information. I just remember rocking up saying you've got the role of Turner, and I didn't get any more information apart from that, apart from his filming these days, and I just up and do my scenes. But yeah, it would have been,
He'd only have been in his early 20s. I
yeah, that's
mean,
what I was thinking. It must have
he'll
been
only
very
have been his
young
early.
to make that.
He got promoted to Lieutenant Colonel in 1944, but I mean, he would only have been in his early to mid 20s.
Because my group was so small as well, they like I wasn't even 100% sure, because I was originally cast as just featured. I wasn't even, they said they wasn't sure if I was even going to get like the official Apple TV credits. But in the end, I think I'm credited in 4 episodes. And I knew I was supposed to be in the first 3 episodes. But for some reason, I have no idea why, they've credited me in episode 8 as well, which I have no idea why. I wasn't even supposed to be filming this Turner and that.
Don't be saying it out loud, man.
Don't say that out loud.
Especially as I honestly think that this is going to be watched by some of the guys from Apple TV. So they've reached out to us. So you were credited because you were in. That's why
You
you were
were
in
in
it.
it,
I
but
saw
I'm
you. I saw
myself.
you. Yeah. I mean, you can't miss the hair. So obviously you're credited with.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot again. You don't have to do it either. But do you have a passable impersonation of Dale Dye?
They all die. Now, to be honest, I didn't spend that much time with him. It was only the odd time when he'd come into set whilst I'm filming that he would give instructions, but I didn't, I'm not even sure.
What did the what
Some
did the
must have done.
what did the extras think about Dale Dyer?
Oh, they all loved him. He's a pretty cool guy, you know. He I guess because when he was asked, he was very, you know, serious on the spot telling us what to do. But towards the end of filming, you know, we'd been on set for like months now. He was just sort of chilled, watching from a side, chatting to people. So everyone sort of loved him. And yeah, he's a cool guy. And he's obviously getting a bit older now, so I don't think he was.
Yeah, I think he must have mellowed because he beat the living shit out of us
He
for
did,
a
didn't he?
year.
Seemed to enjoy it as well, didn't he? But
He did.
what was the most impressive thing you noticed about your experience there? Because, you know, I think the most, for example, for us, it was definitely the sets, wasn't it, Matt? Because we had a huge set that looked like three different places from three different angles. It was absolutely massive. And we had a whole hangar full of tanks and jeeps and hardware and things like that. What was the most impressive thing that you saw?
So I actually went off topic earlier, but when you were talking about me being a body double, I ended up doubling for the actor that played Starkey. They said we had a similar look, so they got me in at the end to do all his scenes when he was unavailable. And that's when I went to the studio for the first time, because all my scenes as Turner was at the base camp,
Yeah.
obviously in the offices. And then going to do the body dubbing at the studios, that's when I saw, you know, the scale of things, like the planes that were all rigged up. It was sort of like a crazy VR set, you know, as if you were up in the air, you've got the green screens, you've got the real sort of, it looks like planes are shooting at you. And I remember we were all in our plane gear as if we were in the plane. And it was like we were going into a spaceship. I remember the studio was really dark. All the lights were on the plane, which we were filming in. We all had these big, heavy, you know, flying suits on. And it just felt like we were, you know, going up to space like spacemen. It was a really, really cool experience. And that's when I met, because obviously I was filling in for Starkey. And I think it's the initial episode one where they've got some turbulence going over Greenland, and it's supposed to be him, but from the side, that's actually me. So that's when
Nice.
I met Babyface, Quinn, and Bailey. So that's who I was filming with when I was doing my doubling, filling in for Starkey.
Yeah, he's a cool kid, Bailey, isn't he? We had him on here.
He is. He. I've got a funny story actually. He probably thinks. Like he probably thinks I'm awful because I remember when I was doing this scene, filling in for Starkey. Obviously, I've just been called in to do some body doubling, you know, body doubling all the other days. It's really chilled. You just turn up, stand in your position, and they sort of film you from the side, or you've got your helmet on. And then we're filming, and the director Carrie goes, "All right, Starkey, you're going to do the lines." And I remember because we were all rigged up, we could only hear the director through our ears. And I remember saying to the other cast, "I haven't got the script. I don't know the lines. I've just been told to turn up and do the body doubling today." And then they quickly like, "Oh, tell him the lines. He's going to do the lines." And I hadn't done my American accent in like 6 months at this point because this was right at the end of the year. And then for some reason, it was the first day I met Quinn, and I thought his name was Quentin. And trying to say Quentin in the American accent, I wasn't too good. And then we did a few takes and it just wasn't going well at all. So I think they just scrapped that bit and they were just going to edit his voice in afterwards. But yeah, I got put on the spot. And yeah, so I think when Bailey and all that saw me for the first time, they were probably like, "Who is this guy? He doesn't know what he's doing." But
He speaks weird and he doesn't know the lines.
yeah.
Is there have you got like any dirt? I've had all these guys on. I need like a dirt story. I mean, I can tell you one of like mine, and I've told it 100 times where I thought I had a day off filming. I was on cover, So when you're on cover filming, they never get to you. And I professionally went out and got absolutely smashed till about 5 o'clock in the morning. And then at 5:01, my phone rings. It's like you're coming to set. So I turn up like green and sweating. There's a scene with Doug actually in episode 10, which I could barely stand up, did the scene, and like swaying and sweaty. There's got to be someone who pulled something like that, or there's got to be some type of dirt, because everyone we've had on, lovely and erudite, clever and smart and very attractive as they all are, someone's got to have messed up somewhere.
No, I don't know anything like that. I mean, there's probably some dirt that I'd tell you in person, but not on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Good, good.
Good. Well, that's an improvement because we
That
all
is an
thought
improvement.
that they
I
were
know.
goody two shoes. We were a
Yeah,
little bit
exactly.
concerned about their
Yeah.
ability to enjoy themselves.
They need
Oh.
tutoring in the ways of righteousness.
Yeah. People did move similar to what you were saying, but obviously because of COVID, like if
Yeah.
any of the leads did get ill, we had to shut down the whole sort of
Yeah.
show. And I actually had a nightmare because of that, because I was filming for another job in Spain, and I had a big sort of problem. Like when I first got cast this role, I said I've booked another job in Spain. These are my dates, so I might not be able to play this role. And it ended up working out fine. They said, "Don't worry, you're not filming these dates." And then, like 3 days before I was about to film, they were like, "Oh, we need you in." And I was like, "I'm doing this other job now." So I had this massive dilemma. I had to cut my days filming in Spain for this other job, and then I had to ended up missing a day filming for Turner, but I don't think I was going to be used anyway. And then I flew back early for my Spain job to shoot some more scenes as Turner, and then one of the leads must have got COVID, and
Yeah, they had to shut
ended
it
up.
down.
Yeah, I don't know exactly why it was shut down, but I remember flying home, and then yeah, I ended up just not filming the thing. I don't think any film was going on, so a bit of a nightmare there.
Imagine if there was COVID going on when we filmed. How many times would George Khalil have claimed he had COVID when he was hungover? Would have been shut down all the time.
It would not have made any difference. We'd have just got absolutely annihilated in each other's rooms and just lied about it barefaced, I think.
It's COVID, mate. I'm telling you, COVID. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Really, because you stink like a
Yeah.
tramp.
It's crazy. Like when we weren't filming, we literally had to, as soon as they shouted cut, it was masks back on straight away. So it's
Oh, is
pretty.
that right?
And
Yeah.
even when in rehearsals as well, masks on, and it was only for the main scenes we take them off. So I think people have spotted every now and then you'd see like a little face mask in the corner, or you'd see
Oh,
like
really? Oh, I have to watch
is
out for
there?
that.
Oh, we should do that. All right, we're
Oh,
now
we'll have to
playing.
watch out for that. Rotten Tomatoes will be on
Yeah,
that.
we're playing Spot the
Somebody.
Face Mask. If you want to write in and tell us where the face masks are, it's like a Where's Wally? Where's
Yeah,
Waldo? Is it there?
exactly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Where's Face Mask?
COVID warden. I don't know what scene or what episode, but I saw on a Facebook group I'm in, somebody said they spotted a COVID warden way in the distance. So I don't know how true that is, but we
Oh,
must.
so I wanted to ask about that as well. So I know you were in a different pod bubble or whatever madness it was back in the day to some of the main guys, but I understand that every morning you had to get that COVID test. So someone
Yeah.
rammed something down your throat. You got to give me this. Like, which cast member was the biggest chicken when it? Because it would have been me, by the way. There's no way I could have done that. Which cast member was the biggest chicken about having something rammed down their throat every morning? Who was like gagging
So
in the line?
it would be so not only on the day of filming, I'd sometimes just have to drive in the day before just to get a COVID test on my own, and then drive all the way home, and then obviously you'd have to get COVID test again when you get there. So even
Yeah.
before you get to your, waiting area, so I just it would always be on my own, so I wouldn't see who was the wimps and.
Oh,
Yeah, I can guess who it was anyway. I'm just going to make my own story up
Yeah.
there. But you were okay with it, were you? You were okay being tamped like a cannon?
You get used to it, the first few times it's a bit like, oh, but yeah,
Yeah.
you're used to it by the end, so it's not too bad.
Do you
So
miss it?
has this experience? Is this giving you the bug to kind of do more acting now? Because you haven't, am I right? You haven't done too much before that, or?
Exactly. So I started off, so my brother's an actor, and that's how I sort of got into it. He moved to Vancouver a few years ago, and
Okay.
then last year I just decided to move with him, and I was always helping him with self-tapes and auditions, and I sort of thought to myself, you know what, I suit that character. I reckon I could do this. So I
Yes.
thought to myself, you know what, I'm in Vancouver, I'm in a new city. I'll just go for it. I'll do some try and do some modeling, try and do some acting. And then my first ever gig was I applied to do Vancouver Fashion Week, booked the job as a model doing that. And then I thought, you know what, I'll take the next step and I'll do commercials. So, a bit of modeling, bit of acting.
As you
And
do.
so I booked a commercial out there. And then I thought, you know what, I'll apply for a little student film. And I did my first ever student film with the English accent, and I ended up winning an award for best actor out of all the films. But then when I got home, I thought to myself, I'll see if I can, make some money doing it in England as well. And yeah, I just started booking commercials to start with. And then
Wow.
I've done a little online, few little online series. That was one of the ones which I was filming in Spain.
It
And
was that
then,
a Love Island thing? What is that?
yeah, so I did do a Love Island one. It was like a reenactment scripted version of Love Island.
And we see so you're one of the Love Island guys. You got that shirt off, really good rig,
So I had to do
nice
all the
pipes.
challenges, all that sort of stuff. But yeah,
Yeah.
that was interesting.
I'll bet.
And then since filming Masters of the Air, obviously fell in love with it even more. And I booked a role on a Never war show. I played a German soldier, had one little line on that. So that was pretty cool. And then I recently played a role as an estate agent in a movie, but that film hasn't been released yet. And then I'm just starting to do more, get more into the TV and film. I just had an audition last week for a UK TV show. So I'm getting more into the TV and film stuff.
Yeah.
But I also love doing the commercial stuff. It's fun. So
Pays
it's
well.
hard to get them as well. How many commercials did you get, Matthew?
That's a very good question. Let's have a commercial off. Quite a few, but over quite a long
Thank
period of time. I've done Coca-Cola, Amstel, Heineken, The Times, Warburton, a really weird one for Germany that was just about drinking beer. I don't really know. And a few more. I probably think about maybe 10 in
Oh, that's
total.
really good. That's really good. I think only because I stopped doing the castings because I found them because there was obviously like
Oh,
this,
the
it's just like
casting's
a bit of
driving
a
me
lottery,
mad.
isn't it? The
Yeah.
castings are really painful
Oh yeah, horrible.
because you have to do
Oh,
something really cheap.
Gaviscon. Yeah, I did Gaviscon where I was dressed as a hot dog, but my mate directed that. So yeah.
I do remember, I think I remember the Warburton's one.
Yeah, the
Thinking,
Warburton's one was actually really cool. It was a big long pan
yeah.
shot and all the rest of it. It was like really, really big budget thing. And the guy that shot it, not the director, but the guy that the Steadicam op
Yeah.
was the Steadicam op on Panda Brothers.
Ah.
It was the same guy when I showed up for the first day of filming. And he was really like sanguine, sort of. He was like Carl Pilkington type character. He's like, oh, our careers have gone well, haven't they? I was
Yeah.
right.
I know used to get like the paid every time it was showed, right? Whereas now it's more of just like a one-off sort of buyout.
Yeah, one-off buyout. I actually did a Times commercial for the sports section of the Times, where I'm like walking along reading the newspaper, and it had that because the repeat fees would fall off as well. That started when me and Doug started doing commercials. Before that, it was just you got the same fee every time. Then it was like the first 100 times it's shown, Doug, something like that, and then it just falls off a cliff. And by the end of it, you're making peanuts. But they re-brought it out a couple of years later. Just started the commercial again, and they never told me or anything. And so my agent went back, and they were like, "Oh, they've got to pay you big money right from the start." Well, that was kind of cool. And she just negotiated, like, it's already on TV, and you shouldn't have done that.
I remember a friend of mine, I did an American Express commercial, and a friend of mine, like 2 years later, said, "Oh, I've just seen you on the telly." And I said, "Well, yeah, what in?" He said, "No, in a commercial." And I went, "What?" And my agent had not told me and just been pocketing the money, hoping I wouldn't
No.
notice.
Yeah.
This is a long
No.
time ago, but yeah.
Cheeky bugger.
Yeah, cheeky, yeah.
Phil Barantini's agent. Didn't Phil Barantini's agent rip him off and disappear off to Israel or something? It's quite common, actually.
Yeah, no, I think it does happen. Was Phil Barantini the milk guy, the Accrington Stanley, or did he always just was that a makeup thing that he just loved saying because we all thought he was? Accrington
No,
Stanley,
I
who are
think,
they? You know, we all thought
yeah,
that that was
Accrington
him, and
Stanley,
he
who are they?
didn't
Yeah,
say that.
exactly. Yeah, no,
I
I
think I've
don't.
heard since that he said that it wasn't actually him. He just is.
Leighton's trying to find it. Leighton's trying to find it. I tell you what, I tell you who was in a commercial that you'll remember. It was for the Yellow Pages.
Okay.
And he has a massive party, and it starts with just his house is in an absolute wreck. And he wakes up, he's got long hair. And he gets like a like he does the Yellow Pages, and he does the wood guy comes around and fixes all the wood and
Yes,
scratches and
I
everything,
remember that.
and then he
Go
looks up and the painting on the wall's got a moustache on it. That was Simon Schatzenberger, who played Lesniewski in episodes 9 and 10. And it took me,
on.
I kept looking at him thinking, I know you from somewhere.
No.
And he mentioned it. It was like, oh, when I did this Yellow Pages ad, he must have been able to buy a house on that because that
Yeah.
was back in the day.
Yeah, you got big money. I think you got far more money back then, 20
Yeah, you
years
do.
ago,
Yeah, you
than you
do.
do now.
Yeah, my mate did a commercial, and he all he had to say, and he said it really badly because I don't think he realized they would. It was a take. It was, and he just kind of went, "Oh, Laura, you want to get one like mine?" And he didn't speak like that at all. I don't know why he was using that voice. And they just ran it over and over and over and over and over again. I think he bought a house off it. That was back
Yeah.
in like the late 90s.
Yeah,
You
the
could still
90s
get
was a golden
commercials then,
era
the golden
for
era of
commercials. You know,
commercials.
the Nescafe things and the, was it Jack D doing
Yeah,
the
what did he
beer?
do?
Yeah, you did your John Smith or something.
Something like that,
Yeah,
yeah.
and someone in the audience on the show said, "Do you like that beer?" And he says, "Yeah, every time I walk up to my house, I go, fuck, I love
Yeah,
that
because he was in AA, wasn't he? So,
Anyway,
yes,
we
fantastic.
digress.
We did digress into commercials. So at this point, then, I was asked this of all my tough call on Barantini. Oh, he can't tell. Leighton's trying to find out whether it is Barantini. He can't tell. I don't think it is. I think he's making it up.
Yeah, I think he is
Talking
as
balls.
well.
I was asked this of all my prey at this point, Ben. How old are you now, by the way?
I am 27 now. I'm almost 28, which is
Ah.
crazy because I was 23
Six
or
before that. Yeah. The...
shot massively, yeah, or something. Yeah, 24, I believe.
Right.
Wow.
So we subtitle our podcast, The Nearly Men. I have to ask you, is there something you could have nearly been? Or a role you could have nearly got? Like, were you one man off playing Spider-Man? Or were you in fact going to be, I don't know, outside half a Bath rugby club or something that nearly happened but didn't happen?
What do you think? I mean,
Tell me you were going to be the outside half of Bath rugby club, by the way, because I would love that.
no, what do you think? No, there's obviously probably is some commercial stuff where I'm almost, I don't know, I can't think of the top of my head, but there's a lot of things, reasons why I almost didn't get this role. Obviously, when I had another job originally and I said I couldn't do these dates, which sort of was a reason not to be cast as Turner. And then obviously, before I even knew about the audition, I told them that I didn't want to do it anymore. One, because I didn't want to cut my hair, and two, because I didn't really want to do the background stuff and drive 2 hours away. So there's lots of reasons why I almost didn't end up playing this role. And obviously, such a cool, turnaround from not doing it, talking to the background people, and now being in 3, 4 episodes of one of the biggest,
Oh, you're in four. You have to toe
Yeah,
that
you're in
line. You're also
four.
in episode eight. Ben, please work with us here. You're getting
You
credited for four.
can.
If any residuals ever kick in the future, that's very important. So make sure.
Yeah, well, about that, because obviously my contract was different to everyone else's. I didn't actually get a good, any buyout in the end, but
Oh, that's rough. That is
I
rough.
did get told at some point that maybe it depends on the cut that they'd put me on a different contract, but I never heard from anyone in the end. So
Oh, how terribly surprising that is.
Yeah, exactly. That's not
Yeah.
terribly surprising, but
Exactly. But you
well,
know,
I
still
hope
really
you hope it all continues for you, and I hope you book more jobs. And so what have you got? Did you study acting at all at school or anything like that? Are you gonna go and do some classes, or are you just gonna like, because it seems like you've been kind of using your intuition and just kind of getting little steps each time. You're just gonna keep going.
I'm just always creating opportunities for myself, trying to find stuff online, even like putting myself out there. But in terms of, progressing, I'm gonna be doing some more classes. I didn't go to drama school or anything. I've just grown up with a brother who's an actor. He's been an actor since he was like left school at 16. He's now like 31. So I've seen, him doing some small independent movies, little roles on TV. And it just sort of inspired me from there, just started off helping him, and I've seen him progress. So hopefully I can do the same, and yeah, just keep pushing on.
Yeah, keep
Keep on
pushing on.
rocking, brother. Keep pushing, brother. All right. Oh,
Yeah.
thank you so much for coming on, man. Hopefully we'll see you again soon, in a lot of
Yeah.
stuff. Right. Thank you so much, man. We're going to
Yeah,
round
cheers,
off now,
Ben.
so we'll let you go, Ben. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for coming on, Ben. Take care, mate.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. Thank you.
Yeah, good hair. That lad had
He
good hair.
his hair is
He's
phenomenal.
magnificent. Magnificent.
I mean, it didn't look like almost actual hair, did it? It was like a, it was, it's so
Lego.
thick, it's like cartoon hair almost.
Yeah,
And his hair is so good.
the Lego hair that sticks on it just
Yeah,
sticks on.
he's gonna book like a Head and Shoulders commercial and earn fortunes or something.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
Without a
definitely.
doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great story though, isn't it?
Yeah, he's good. He's a smart, sort of ambitious young man, wasn't he? He's very, very sweet.
Yeah.
Nice talking to him.
Yeah, it was.
All right, fellas. Well, thanks very much for listening again. Doug and I'll be back next week. And it'll all kick off. I think we've got more Masters guys coming on. Hopefully you're enjoying what we're bringing you. It's been a lot of fun. So thanks very much for listening. Cheers, guys.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye.